City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing.
It's that time of the week again where we turn on some microphones and we do some bloke kind of chat, hence the name of the show, which is Bloke Talk here at City Talk 105.9. Thank you very much for getting involved this weekend, or indeed downloading it. And it's another set of changes. You know, this show has not been in its normal form for what seems like it's almost a month, isn't it?
Oh, it's longer than that.
Can you remember why? Because we had Toby was off for a couple of weeks, wasn't he?
Toby was off for 2 weeks.
You weren't well, was that right?
No.
You were off.
No.
Go on.
Toby was off. Yeah. Toby was off in Vegas for 2 weeks.
That's right.
Then we did the Bloke Talk curry. Toby was back by that point, but he was ill.
That's right. Yeah.
And then I missed two because I was off.
Yeah, and Toby's not here this weekend either.
No.
So even though it's the first Bloke Talk of 2009, and happy Bloke Talk 2009 stuff to you, it is just Laura and I for the best part of the next 60 minutes, and you and I haven't spoken for a while afterwards, so we ought to really kind of like talk about the festivities and all that jazz. Has it all gone well?
Oh, it's gone brilliantly. Yeah. Had a lovely Christmas
this
year.
Did you? What was the highlight?
Well, I went down to Cornwall.
Very nice, Cornwall.
My mum and dad lived down there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we drove down, me and my sister and her hubby.
That's a long drive, isn't it, Cornwall? Yeah.
Well, we drove down on Christmas Eve and we were really dreading it. And we drove down from Warrington, where my sister lives.
Right.
And it actually only took 5.5 hours.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be really busy, but it was absolutely dead on the roads.
Yeah.
And so 5.5 hours on the way down and 6.5 on the way back. So it was fine.
Cornwall has always it's always gone after its own independence. Are you aware of that? In the 70s, there was a massive campaign. There was like the Cornish Liberation Front or something, and they started threatening to bomb people unless they got independence. Were your relatives anything to do with that at all?
No, they just lived down there. They've only lived there for a few years.
Right,
but they've got quite caught up in it. There's a Cornish flag. Have you seen it?
No, go on.
A black flag with a white cross on it.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad have actually got car stickers with that cross on it now.
Really?
Everyone has them down there.
Why? Why does Cornwall want to be independent from the rest of the United Kingdom?
Well, when you go down there, it is actually different.
I know.
It's kind of the feeling you get when you go into Wales from England.
Yeah,
you could tell it's different.
Yeah.
And I actually said, and this was just a slip of the tongue, I actually said to my sister's hubby when we were driving back, we crossed the Tamar Bridge when you go back into Devon, and I said, hooray, we're back in England. And that was just a slip up, but it feels separate from the rest of the country.
What's the key? What did you notice that was key to the differences between maybe Cornwall and the rest of the United Kingdom? I bet there's no Starbucks in Cornwall.
No, it's very, it's a slower pace of life in general.
Yeah.
And the people talk a bit funny down there.
Do they?
Yeah, and they have pasties.
Yeah. I once went to Penzance.
Yeah.
And I went to this part of the town, and no word of a lie, because I have this ability to find secondhand record shops. I have a built-in antennae somewhere in my head that no matter where I am, I can always hunt out and sniff out a secondhand record shop. And I did this in Penzance. And I came out of this secondhand record shop, and no word of a lie, I was in a kind of like a... it wasn't a cobbled street, but it was pedestrianised. And everyone at 1:30 was tucking into a Cornish pasty.
Yeah.
Absolutely everyone I looked at was sitting down on walls, sitting down on park benches, even walking along the street. I couldn't believe it. Everyone.
To be fair, though, they were probably tourists.
You think so?
And everyone feels like they should eat pasties when they go down there.
Yeah.
I go to this pasty shop and it's got like 40 different types of pasty.
Yeah, I've never got on with a Cornish pasty.
I love them.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's your favourite pasty?
There's ones with Stilton in.
Oh.
Yeah, sort of Stilton and potato and leek, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's also, you can get spicy ones, spicy curry pasties.
Ooh, well, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some good ones.
So you were down in Cornwall for which part of the festivities?
For Christmas.
The whole Christmas thing?
Yeah, for a few days.
So kind of like, we know Cornwall wants its independence. Does it do anything different on Christmas Day? Did you all go out and kind of like hug a goat or do some dancing or something?
No, we went to the beach on Boxing Day.
Fantastic.
And it was really sunny. It was amazing. There was these people having a barbecue there and everything.
Yeah.
But no, Cornwall is a very good place to go at New Year.
Oh,
even though I wasn't there for that. In Cornwall, everyone dresses up at New Year in fancy dress, and they all just hit the streets.
And do what?
Just party, but
really?
Everyone dresses up. And if you, it happens in almost every Cornish town, I think. But if you don't wear fancy dress, you look odd and you get ridiculed.
You see, that there's something about it, isn't there? It's got, I don't know what the connection is, because some places have these kind of traditions for New Year, and I've never done New Year in Cornwall, but I've done it in Edinburgh several times. And Edinburgh is, it's almost like someone draws a little circle like a fence around the city of Edinburgh, and it just becomes a party city that normally starts about 5:30 on New Year's Eve afternoon and runs through until about 9 o'clock New Year's Day night. And no matter where you go, people are in the party spirit. You get invited into people's houses. You know, people are handing out drinks and stuff. It's a really good vibe. There's no trouble. But it's just like someone literally draws a circle around Edinburgh and go, right, you are now the party capital of Scotland. Go forth, have fun. It's great.
Yeah, I'd always wanted to go there.
You never done the Edinburgh?
Too far, yeah,
no, you should. It's good fun. I'm just trying to think. Do you any presents that were particularly highlights?
No.
Anything unexpected?
No.
No.
Money.
Yeah.
Books.
Yeah.
DVDs.
Yeah. Stuff you asked for.
Yeah, mainly stuff I asked for. Perfume.
Yeah.
What
What do you prefer in terms of, and I was talking about this in the office to someone else the other day, are you a Christmas Day person or a Boxing Day person? I asked this question because you mentioned going to the beach on Boxing Day, and I'm going to nail my colours to a mast. You see, I prefer Boxing Day.
Do you?
I think Boxing Day
trumps
Christmas Day because it's a slightly slower pace. All of the pressure's off because Christmas Day has happened, and, you know, if you've got family or you're cooking or whatever, all of that big pressure's away. So Boxing Day is a little bit more chilled. There's not a massive amount of expectation, and it's and the food is better on Boxing Day.
No,
right?
It
is. The food
How
is
can
better.
You say that
cold turkey
is better
fantastic,
than hot turkey.
Or a bit of cold beef, or a bit of cold gammon, or whatever, and all of the pickles and all of the chutneys. It's all there, and you've got loads of leftover potatoes and maybe cabbage and sprouts, and you mash it all up, and you put it in a wok with some lard, and you make loads of bubble and squeak, and then you've got leftover Christmas pudding. And you slice it up. And
puddings taste better left over.
You fry it up in some brandy butter.
Oh, I love
from the day
butter.
Before. The food on Boxing Day is far better. I'd rather have Boxing Day food than I would Christmas Day.
Do you know, my dad's only job at Christmas in terms of the cooking, my mum does absolutely everything apart from the brandy butter.
Really? Is that his job?
Yeah, he goes, he makes a big fuss about it as well. And then he has to look at the recipe every year. There's a really old recipe that my mum's got in a cookery book from the 70s.
What on earth does he put in there?
Well, it's butter, sugar and
brandy.
Anyone could tell.
What else do you need?
But and he was complaining about it because he said the recipe wasn't clear enough. Because it should say, one, do this, two, do this, and make it like easier to read. And I thought, you just soften the butter, put the sugar in, put the brandy in. It's not...
Yes, soften the butter, add some sugar, add brandy to taste.
Yeah.
Job done.
And then my job was the vegetables.
Right. What,
I got stuck with the sprouts. Which is actually a fiddly job, Duncan.
What's the matter with the sprouts?
Well, you have to...
I did sprouts on Christmas Day.
Well,
easy.
I don't know if you do them properly, but you cut off the end,
properly.
You peel them a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you put a cross in them.
No, you don't need to put crosses in the bottom of them.
Yeah, you do.
No,
that's what
myth.
You do with
no,
sprouts.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
That is what you do. That's how you get the best sprouts.
No, you don't. I know some people do it, but you don't need to do it. All you do is just chop the bottoms off. You take away any of the kind of slightly grubby or dead leaves and stick it in the pan. I've had this conversation with so many people so many times.
But why would everyone do that?
Because they fall for it. It's one of these myths. You know, it doesn't make any difference to the cooking process whatsoever. Just because you spent, you know, a nano of a second going, cross. It's pointless. It's a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, it is. It took me a long time to do my sprouts.
You don't need to do it. Doesn't make the sprouts taste any different. Doesn't make
them
cook any faster.
I thought it might help them cook it, the inside of it or something.
Well, it's boiled. How does that work?
Well, I don't know, because there's a cut in it. It might make the... Oh, I don't know. No,
it's one of those bizarre things.
It's making me question it.
It is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. It is Bloke Talk, and if you're listening to this at the weekend, hope your weekend's going well. The first weekend of 2009. If you have downloaded this, as a lot of people do via the website citytalk.fm, thank you, whatever you're doing whilst listening to this edition of Bloke Talk. I hope it's going well. And we're here for the best part of 60 minutes, just kind of like talking about stuff. It's only myself and Laura this week because Toby is, well, he's not here. But we're back to normal the following weekend.
It'll be nice to have a reunion with
I've got to be honest with you. It's we've done it in so many different places with minus various people and stuff. I'm getting a little bit, what's the word? I'm not aggrieved. But I feel out of sync. Does that make sense?
You know, so what, you're angry with Toby? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not angry. Why would I be angry?
Well, he's missed a lot more than me.
Well, he can't help being ill, can he?
Well, Toby's always ill.
Do you think he was a bit of a snotty child when he was a boy?
Oh, yeah, he's one of these guys that really milks it.
Yeah, you can just permanently have a snotty hanky in his school trousers.
He's so grumpy when he's ill as well.
Yeah, he doesn't deal with
it. He came into work a few weeks ago when he had that illness, the curry time.
Yeah.
And he just looked, he had a face like thunder when he walked in. And I said, are you okay, Toby? How are you? Because it was the first time I'd seen him since he got back from Vegas.
Yeah.
I expected him to be full of beans. He was like, no, I'm ill. And he just wouldn't talk.
Do we know how his relationship is? And I don't know if you know about this, but when you weren't here, he revealed all on Bloke Talk regarding Pee-Pee.
Right. Is that the name?
Because that's her name, Pee-Pee. Those are her initials, Pee-Pee.
PP.
And, you know, because, of course, we talked about his trip to Vegas and we talked about how much he ate and how much he drank and some of the gambling that he and PP did. Mm. So he's kind of, you know, he's been quite, he's been out there with PP. And Bloke Talk was introduced to, the fact that Toby's now in a relationship.
It was nice of him to take her away so soon, wasn't it?
Yeah, what does that say about a man? Would you, you know, you're a woman of the world, which is why you're part of Bloke Talk. If a bloke after, 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
4 weeks, I think it was.
Said, we're off to Vegas. Would you go, that's a nice surprise. Would you think that's a bit too much, too soon? What would be your feminine take on that?
No, I think I would like that.
Yeah.
Even just to get the free holiday, really. Or I don't know if you paid for it, actually, so I probably shouldn't say free holiday. Yeah. But just to get the holiday would be nice, but it's a bit full on that for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, they obviously had a good time.
Because
so.
Your relationship would be in it's kind of like the shoots would be sprouting, wouldn't they?
Mm.
And it'd be in the very first couple of weeks. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, being somewhere here in Liverpool or whatever, and, you know, your new girlfriend's in one part of the city and you're in the other, you can kind of, you've got some space, haven't you? Mm. But all of a sudden, that dynamic changes. You get on a plane together. A flight over to America is, 8 hours?
Mm.
8 hours.
That was probably the longest they'd ever spent together.
Side by side in a small little tube, right? Then they go somewhere.
In a small tube.
Well, it's like a plane. And then they go somewhere. They're in this hotel. One's presuming they had the same room. I mean, we should not...
I don't know. He's quite a gentleman, Toby.
You think so? All right. Let's say they had separate rooms. All right. The fact is, you're there for how long? A week?
Yeah.
A week. Can't escape, can you?
No.
You've got to try and make this relationship work. So, you know, it's quite a brave thing and a courageous thing.
Make or break, I'd say.
Yeah.
Well, I
think it was Mike because, as far as I'm aware, he's still
happy.
Happy with Pee-Pee.
Well, I'm glad he's happy. He deserves it, doesn't he?
Well, I look forward to getting things back to normal next weekend. We need to talk about New Year.
Yeah.
And we'll do that in a few moments' time. I had a very, very quiet New Year. I didn't do anything because I was here at City Talk 105.9. So what I decided to do, because I was doing the breakfast show all last week, which meant, because you're very good, you do early morning news shifts, so you're quite used to kind of like the 4 a.m. starts or whatever time you get out of bed.
Yeah, I don't do them every day, which is good.
Yeah, you see, but you didn't quite frequently, don't you? You see, I don't. So when I get asked to do the breakfast show, it's a shock to the system. And it takes me about 3 days to acclimatise, by which point kind of like the end is in sight. So one, I was knackered during the week, and two, I just can't get off on New Year's Eve anymore.
I'm just bored of it.
It sounds arrogant, but I've done it in lots of different places with different people with various levels of kind of like alcohol and stuff, and I just get bored of it.
Yeah, scrap it, I say.
What, New Year's Eve?
Just scrap it.
I think we should certainly ban pubs from charging people
15
quid
that.
To get in and ratcheting up the drink prices. when at any other time of the year, you can get a pint for £1.80 and you don't have to pay to get through the front doors. Why do we put up with it? I reckon, I'd be interesting to see in about, 2 weeks' time when the figures come out, how many people actually stayed at home during the week for New Year's Eve and how many people decided to go out.
It's credit crunch time as well.
Yeah. So we'll come back in a few moments' time. We'll find out what you did for New Year. I've got quite a bit of stuff I wanted to talk about here. We also must just mention the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. I want to talk about fake tans for men.
Mm.
I want to get your view on that, not because I'm thinking about it, but someone did purchase me a gift over Christmas, which was, what are you laughing at?
You with the orange face.
Someone purchased me something that is health and beauty related that I've tried once, and it was not a good experience. So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about how to make the perfect phone call.
Right, OK.
Because I've got a guide here, and the perfect phone call should last 9 minutes and 36 seconds.
Mm.
Were you aware of that?
No, sorry, I just took a swig of my drink.
So we'll do that in a few moments' time. You're listening to Bloke Talk, and it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
So it's the first Bloke Talk of 2009, and I'm here, I'm Duncan. Thank you very much for tuning in or downloading. Laura's here as well, two-thirds of the original Bloke Talk team.
Not very blokey today, is it?
No. Well,
you
no.
and what? Me, who I'm clearly not a bloke.
No. There's a few things I want to talk about. Must just mention, though, a couple of things. First of all, go to our website, citytalk.fm. There you can look at, or rather listen to, previous Bloke Talks, because you can download them all. Done loads of stuff over the past 6 months, and also you can still listen to the fact of when we went out for a curry. Bloke Talk went for a curry. Have you seen the pictures on the website?
I didn't want to look at them. They are quite unflattering.
They are unflattering. I was made to wear that white coat, which was two sizes too small, and I was just kind of had this kind of like straight jacket on. And I was trying to knock up the Vindaloo at St Am's, but it was good fun. So you can listen to that again as we went for a curry, and also see a load of pictures on there. And that's on the website, citytalk.fm. And also we have the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society that's still up and running on Facebook, which I don't have access to check anymore because I've come off Facebook. Not because it's a New Year's resolution, it's just I was spending far too much time on it. And I just thought I could read a book. Better things in my time. But if you want to go and get involved in Bloke Talk and you listen to this show and any suggestions or ideas for 2009, it's all on Facebook. It's the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. You can write on the wall there. Tell us what you think. Tell us about stuff you think maybe we should be talking about from a male, female perspective. All of that kind of jazz. And we'll have a look at it and get involved in some of your ideas. So those are the things you need to do. citytalk.fm and have a look at our various pictures and the stuff that we've got on their previous shows, and the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society on Facebook is the places to go for your online activity. So how was your new year then? Did you...
Very low-key, pretty the same as yours. Yeah. Just went to a house party in Manchester.
Yeah. How old are you?
27 just turned. Yes.
You see, I was trying to pinpoint the actual age when I decided that I got bored of New Year's Eve. And I think, it is when you're young and you don't have any responsibilities and you've got a bit of spare cash knocking around, it's just another opportunity to get drunk, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But
don't see why it's any different to any other night.
That's what I was going to say, because, again, if you are in that position, you can get drunk any night of the week,
Exactly.
But there is this kind of pressure that you must go out and kind of, have a good time and get hammered and, walk home at 5:30 in the morning. But I was just trying to work out from when I thought, do you know what, I'm just fed up of this. And so you feel like that now at 27?
Well, to be honest with you, I find it quite depressing.
Why do you find it depressing?
Well, I don't see it, I don't see it as, wow, look at these wonderful opportunities that lie ahead. I just see it as more time passing by.
Do you?
Getting older, getting closer to death.
Yeah.
That's what I think about when Auld Lang Syne is sung.
We were talking about it last weekend.
One year closer to death.
Gloom of depression. I've got this cloud lingering over me.
I think a lot of people get depressed and emotional on New Year's Eve.
That's because they're drunk. That's why. It's the effect of alcohol.
I know, but it's, it's like this new dawn of a new year. But I think it depresses people.
Do you honestly think people are sitting there thinking, oh, it's another step closer to death?
Well, I do.
I think what it is, I'll tell you why I think people get depressed, is there's so much expectation. It all gets built up, and then actually the clock strikes midnight and it's like, oh.
And you know as well as I do, Duncan, the best nights out are the spontaneous ones.
Absolutely. This is very true. I find New Year's Eve boring, and we talked about this last week, and the thing that I find quite amazing, and I did it again during the week, is I turned off my mobile phone. at 6 in the evening, because there's nothing worse than getting all of these, just wanted to wish you all the best, mate. And you think, I don't recognise that number. Because you kind of like someone who you might have known 7 years ago. And
just reply to it and go, Happy New Year.
Oh, that's can't be bothered. But you turn your phone on the New Year's Day and it kind of like starts to beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, and all of these kind of messages. Or, you know, you get these people who trot out the line, I wanted to get in before the network was too busy.
Oh, they just started doing that in the last few years. Yeah. They send a text at like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's going to be loads of texts being sent later, so I've got to send you a text.
Isn't it?
Oh, for God's sake.
So you had a quiet one in Manchester.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there was drink being drunk, but no going out and having to wait for a taxi
and having to queue at the bar
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I've left that behind me now, Duncan.
Yeah. I had a few drinks earlier on in the day on New Year's Eve and had some nice food and that was it.
Did you stay up till midnight?
Nope.
See, I always stay up till midnight.
It?
Even
as
last year, I actually had the flu last year.
Yeah.
And I was due to go to a fancy dress party at my sister's house, and I'd come up with the theme, which was, how good is this for a theme, by the way? People who have the same letter at the on their starting their first name and their last name, e.g.
Right.
Mickey Mouse, Ozzy Osbourne,
Marilyn
Monroe.
Yeah.
Do you see what I... You know, there's loads. There's actually loads.
Yeah.
Anyway... Do you not think that's good? It's such a good category. There's so many you can think of.
You say there's loads. You're going to run out. I can't think of it, apart from the ones
you
just
mentioned.
Oh, there's
loads. Who? Okay, let me carry on. Marilyn Manson, Freddie Flintoff. I'm trying to think.
It's hardly creative fancy dress, is it? I'm going as Freddie Flintoff. I'm going to stick on some cricket
ones. No, but there's a...
Take a bat and some pads.
No, but what they did is when people turned up, they guessed who they were.
Right, I see.
And then it was a double letter thing. Well, I thought it was clever. Anyway, I was suffering from the flu all day. Mm. I'd got these outfits. So I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And I got dressed up as Maid Marian.
Right.
And Dave was dressed up as Fred Flintstone.
Right.
He had these big plastic feet on.
Yeah.
And I was just too ill to go. And he was in a mood because he hated his costume and just didn't want to go.
Yeah, men don't like doing fancy dresses.
Oh, he hated it.
It's a female thing.
And the Fred Flintstone outfit is actually a dress.
Yeah.
It's basically a furry dress.
It is definitely a female thing, fancy dress parties. Men don't really like them.
I know, I don't understand that. It's so fun.
No, and you know, if you see a man, particularly in a toga, who's decided to go as a Roman centurion, and they're actually quite happy about it, there is something not right about that man. You know, middle-aged men who wrap a sheet around them and all of a sudden think they're back in Roman Britain, you know, and that's their idea of a decent fancy dress. And they're actually getting off on the fact that's not right. There's something going on there. It's not right at all.
Well, anyway, we got all dressed up. We were ready to go. Yeah. And then as I went to leave the house, I actually fainted because I was so ill.
When was
this? I never fainted before. Last New Year's Eve, we're getting ready at about 8 o'clock in the evening, ready to go to this party.
So 07 into 08.
I was so ill that
Was it then? Too much excess?
No, it was. I think that was actual flu rather than man flu, bird flu, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That was actual flu because I was struck down for days.
I said this last weekend, I predicted my new year would be exactly like this, and it was. It was some nice wine, a little bit of food.
Mm-hmm.
I had every intention of watching Jules Holland. So I like Jules Holland, you know, the old Hootenanny there, which is kind of filmed back in November, and now the BBC feel they must tell people. And, you know, who actually thought that show was live? Let's be honest. And
Is it pre-recorded?
Of course it's pre-recorded.
I thought it was live.
No. And I had some wine and promptly fell asleep at about 10 past 11. And that was that.
Well, that was eventful.
Yeah.
At least I stay up till midnight. Even when I was ill with flu, I stayed up till midnight.
Well, you were younger. Listen, I got, during Christmas, I've got this, I'm just trying to work out if I can remember the brand. I think it's Number 7, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone bought me some facial scrub. Now, this particular person, who I've known for a long, long time, is one of my closest female friends. You know, she's a lovely lady.
Not your wife?
No. And she's a lovely lady, and I've known her for a long, long time, and she's married to a mate of mine, and they've just had a little baby and stuff. And I got quite excited because it was under the tree, and it was just this kind of like, because you know what it's like, you can work out what most presents are, can't you? And I thought, what's this round thing here? And it turned out to be facial scrub.
So now, a little tub.
a little tub of facial scrub, which I've never used before in my entire life. And, you know, as well documented, my views and my attitudes towards what I call metrosexuality, and I put facial scrub well and truly into that bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a very sad day when men start spending more time in the bathroom than their girlfriends and their wives. Anyway, I looked at this stuff, and I kind of never seen it before, so I unscrewed the top and had a look inside it, and it's kind of like a combination of hair gel with, like, grit in it. It's the only way I can describe it. It's got little bits of grit.
That's not grit. That's exfoliants.
It looked like grit. And I thought...
It's not actual grit. It'll be apricot stone or something.
Felt like grit.
Well, it won't be grit off the street,
felt
will it?
Like it. And it said you must work it up into a lather.
Yeah.
And you lather, you massage your face. And I thought, well, listen, before I can condemn this totally out of hand, I need to try it. So that's what I did. I was in the bath and I got some of the... I opened up the tub of grit and I worked it into a lather. I wrote it all over my face and stuff. And it was really irritating, incredibly irritating. And they said you've got to do it for 2 minutes and then rinse it all off. And I couldn't stand it. After 30 seconds, it was just literally, it was like someone had got my face and gently was just rubbing it against the tarmac or the concrete on a bit of road.
Do you have sensitive skin?
No, not especially.
Maybe you just can't handle it, Duncan.
Now, what does that
women
mean?
Women use facial scrubs all the time.
But it's just not...
I don't complain.
Well, yeah, but...
But it is not... It's not... It doesn't hurt, though. It doesn't actually hurt, does
it? Was
it?
Irritating. It was irritating.
Yeah, but then you wash it off and then your skin feels really radiant and fresh and soft and all the dead skin layers...
Does Dave use it?
No, but he's not much of a metrosexual.
Well, there you are, you see. It's not...
He does use moisturiser, though.
Does he?
Yeah. I should have got him some exfoliator, actually.
It didn't seem right and I didn't like it. And I don't know what to do with it now. I'm thinking of giving it away to someone.
Well, give it to me. I'll give it to Dave.
And also, I couldn't decide as well, because I noticed during the week, and this was depressing. You know, you were saying about New Year's Eve. And you know, you were saying that you find it quite depressing because it's like, it's you know, another year closer to death.
Yes.
And I was, look, if you have a look at the side of my head. Can you see the grey hair that's coming through?
Hang on.
Can you see it there? Look, I've got grey hair coming in there. Can you see that?
You've got loads.
Yeah, and also on that side there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Silver fox.
I discover that during the week. Now that is depressing. That makes you realise how close you are. That makes you realise that decay has started in your body.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what to do about it. I'm going to get it either shaved off, you know, more of a head shave than I normally have.
No, because why can't you just...
Well, because I'm not even 40 yet and I don't want to be going grey.
But some people go grey earlier than others.
Yeah,
some people go grey in their 20s.
But you know what it's like? People have perceptions, don't they, of people who have got grey or white hair and stuff. Yes, they do.
No, not on a man. On a man, it can look very distinguished.
I can't be going grey.
Think Jose Mourinho, the silver fox.
All right, who else? Who else?
George Clooney, he's got grey hair, hasn't he?
No.
Yeah, he has.
No, he hasn't. He's doing that coffee advert on the telly at the moment. His hair's not grey.
Oh, well, I think of him as having grey hair.
It's just because he's old.
Because he's distinguished.
I can't be doing with grey hair.
Well, dye it then.
Yeah, well, this is what
just
I was thinking.
Men.
But what? How? What colour? Look at me. What colour? I have receding hair, which is why I normally have it kind of quite short. What
See,
colour?
Your colour is like mousy anyway,
it
isn't
is.
It?
It is. What colour? You see, I couldn't go black. It would look weird. I certainly couldn't go blonde. That would even be weirder.
Well, they probably do it in your shade. Maybe more of a chestnut.
I just can't. I can't get my head around the fact
I wouldn't
that...
dye your hair, though. That's more pathetic.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I was just... It came from nowhere, literally, as 1 year passed and the new year started. I looked
like
in the mirror.
Like a sprinkling of snowflakes.
Like someone flicked a switch. And I've got these kind of like loads of grey hair. Not just a couple of hairs, but loads.
Yeah, there is loads.
On my, you know, on the side of my head, on both sides. It's depressing.
Well, I think you just have to accept it.
I'm thinking I'm going to get it all shaved off.
No, that will look... You look like a thug.
Or wear more hats. I want to talk about fake tans because quite clearly, you know, you don't have an issue with men who wear these facial scrubs or use these facial scrubs.
No, I think that's a good thing.
What about men who kind of like, you know, have fake tans?
I'm not a fan of fake tans anyway. Because they look so fake.
You see, I noticed when I came to the city, I noticed more kind of like parlours would be a good word than I've ever seen elsewhere. And, you know, I've worked in quite a few places. I can't work it out. What's the kind of... You're a female. Make me understand the idea behind a fake tan for a woman before we talk about the male perspective.
Well, first of all, you do look more attractive when you've got a tan, and that's just a fact.
So?
Yeah, it is. Because when I see photos of myself after I've come back from holiday...
Yeah.
And I had a tan. I think, oh, you look much nicer there.
Right.
Having said that, I don't use fake tan at all
because
it generally can look quite fake. Mm. Some beds give you a tan, but then people overdo some beds.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just don't bother with it. But on men, come on.
Yeah,
you get this orange look, which really is not good.
Well,
you've
like
been tangoed.
It's a terracotta
good.
Army, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to understand is, can you actually, and I'm really ignorant when it comes to this, I don't know anyone who's got a fake tan.
Rick Vaughan? Friend of the show?
Well, is that fake?
Well, I suppose it's not fake tan, as in it's sunbed tan, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's an actual tan.
See, I wouldn't put sunbed tan in the bracket of fake tan. I mean, you know, you are standing in front of a, you know, some light thing or whatever that's changing the colour of your skin. I mean, if you've got time to do that, then good luck to you. But I want to just explore these things that you paint on, because you literally paint them on, don't you?
Well, yeah, you don't use a paintbrush, but yeah.
Well, how does it work then?
Well, you can get different. You can get.
I don't know.
You can get creams.
Right. What does that do?
Well,
you just rub it all in and it just changes the colour of your skin.
Well, not straight away. Yeah. You usually have to leave it overnight.
And what happens if you go for another shower? Does it come off?
Well, most of them nowadays will stay on even though you have a shower. They stay on for a bit.
That's just weird.
You can spray them on, and you can use wipes as well. But you can actually go to the salon and get it sprayed on.
Now,
you.
I've heard about this.
Just wear a pair of paper knickers.
Yeah, I've heard about this. So you go in.
Yeah.
You'd stand up against the wall and it'd be someone like spraying a car, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I go shh.
You're just naked apart from a pair of paper pants.
That is weird.
Have you seen that? You probably haven't actually. I doubt you like Friends, do you?
No.
There's an episode of Friends where Ross. Sorry, this is supposed to be bloke talk.
No, it's fine. You know, we can explore the feminine side. What does Ross do?
Well, Ross goes to this shower. It's like an automatic spray tan.
Yeah.
And he gets all confused with the instructions and he accidentally keeps spraying his front instead of his back as well. So his front is like mahogany orange and his back is still white. It's quite funny.
You see, when... if
it
I
all
was,
goes wrong for him.
When I was young and thrusting... which was a long time ago, and I was just trying to think, Max, if I was lucky enough to meet a girl, and let's say it was a magnificent evening, and I took this lady home, and I discovered she had kind of like fake tan, I wouldn't know how to react, really, because from what I've seen, people don't do it very well. Does that make sense?
Well, even the best fake tans, because you can pay a lot of money for these things.
Because, you know, I've seen people
there's
in this
always
city,
streaks.
You have this kind of, they have like, their legs are done and their feet are done. And like, their arms are done and their shoulders are done and their necks kind of, you know. But they're sort of like, they almost have it's almost like they're wearing a white pair of skin pants, if that makes sense. And sometimes the skirt goes up a little bit and you just see this kind of like this massive...
Duncan, you shouldn't be looking when they're
skirts. Well, people should
be sprayed
properly. It looks ridiculous. They should apply it properly. And then you see this massive bit of white flesh and you think, oh, what's going on there?
No, and sometimes, and also the nooks and crannies, it goes all kind of dirty looking in the crooks of your arms and your legs and stuff and on your knees and stuff. It's very hard to get it right.
So as far as you're concerned, for men, having the old facial scrub, that's acceptable.
Yeah, but I think fake tan is just silly on a man.
Because more and more men are doing it.
No, they're not. Are they?
They are, according to the statistics. I just find it bizarre. I can't understand why a woman would do it, let alone a man. I just think it just doesn't make much sense. Listen, we'll come back in a few moments' time because what we love is we love surveys and research, and we have the definitive information of how to make the perfect phone call.
Wow.
You spend a lot of time on the phone, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is of use to blokes because blokes on the phone are rubbish. Blokes lose the ability to actually have a conversation on the telephone. Mm. So, you know, because it is bloke talk and because it is City Talk 105.9, I thought it'd be quite useful to actually go through the guide of how to make the perfect phone call for any men listening who have problems having a conversation on the blower. Then you can tell me from a female perspective whether or not this would work for you.
Okay.
It is bloke talk and it's City Talk 105.9.
This is a man's world!
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
It is Bloke Talk. Thank you very much for tuning in. City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. It's a double-headed Bloke Talk for this weekend only because Toby's not here, so it's Laura and I. And it's actually it's been quite even-handed so far. Hasn't been too blokey, has it?
No, I'm trying to be blokey.
No, you don't have
sorry.
To be. No, the reason
do you
why...
Do want me to talk about beer and cars or something?
Yeah, go on. I'd like to hear you talk about beer and cars.
I had an MOT yesterday.
Did you?
It failed.
What did it fail on?
The exhaust was just totally broken. They had to completely... It failed, actually, on its emissions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And also the tyre, the front tyre, had a cut in it.
Oh, no, dangerous.
What should you even know about? Yeah, yeah. And what else? The windscreen washer jets weren't working.
That's not
and,
good.
And one of the lights had gone at the front.
Yeah, yeah. Did you not recognise any of these things? I mean, the fact that your light's not working, you know, when you're driving at night, you'd probably spot. What happens when you pull the little lever to get the water squirting
up
in
your windscreen? Yeah, it just wasn't coming
out. No, and did you not?
So I wait for it to rain, and then it washes it. Because I don't go to the car wash either. I'm scared of doing that. Yeah. But now I basically...
Why are you scared of the car
wash? Because I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do those car things.
You are joking. Have you got a cash point card?
No, yeah.
Yeah, you go and get money out of a hole in the wall, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly the same as when you go to a car wash.
What do you do?
Well, you fill up with petrol. I guess you can do that.
Yeah, I know how to do that. And I only like doing that at certain places, though.
Which certain places? Well, what criteria?
No, ones that I think are going to be empty because I don't like queuing up.
Okay. So would you
and also, I never know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to sound so stupid
here,
but
fine.
I may as well ask you. So my petrol, what do you call it? Petrol cap? The thing where the petrol
the
is...
hole in the car where you put the petrol in, yeah.
That is on my right-hand side.
Yeah.
So would the thing stretch around if I... So there wasn't one free with the right-hand side, but there was free on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
You go to that one and then
you could,
the
you
thing
could pull
stretches
the pump
around.
Over, yeah.
Does it stretch all the way around?
Should do, yeah.
Because I never know if I always queue up on a right-handed sided one.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
But then there might be a left-handed one
Most
free,
people do. Most people tend to use
most
the pump
do,
that's
though.
Right next door to where their petrol cap is. But if you've got a small car... You know, and you can drive up quite close to where the pump
small.
Is. You could pull the actual kind of pump thing round and it'll go to the other side. That'll be all right.
Yeah, because I never knew if it would stretch. I didn't want to look
but
stupid.
But listen, I'm concerned with the fact that you don't know how the car wash works. So listen, when you go and buy your petrol, okay, you go in and you'll find a thing on the wall. It'll probably say 1 to 5 and you can have different kinds of car washes.
Yeah.
You know, one it'll just do the wheels and like wash it. One it'll dry it. And, you know, the one will do all of the above and waxing, all of that jazz. And you say to the man, I'd like a number 5 car wash. Mm. It'll probably cost you £4.50. And this is where it's like a cash point. He'll give you a bit of paper that has a code number on it. Okay, and this is where you drive up to the car wash. Okay, you wind down your window.
Yeah.
And the keypad is on the right-hand side.
Hang on, where's this man?
Well, this is where you bought the petrol. You pay for your petrol, don't you? You're one of these people who drives off and don't bother.
No, you pay for it.
Yeah, you pay for it.
Oh, when when you actually go into the garage, you ask him there, do you?
Have you never used a car wash ever?
No.
So
I've only had my car for a year.
That's when you buy your petrol, you pay the man for your petrol, okay? That's when you sound like a car wash, okay? And he'll give you
I wouldn't have known that, Duncan.
Do they not cover that when you were learning how to drive or anything?
No. They do show me, tell me now, but they don't do...
Is this a Cornwall thing? Do they not have car washers in Cornwall?
No, I'm not from Cornwall.
I'm
I just struggling. Don't know all these things. And no, they do show me, tell me, which tells you how to... check your oil and check your tyres are all right. But I've forgotten all that stuff now.
Yeah. So you drive up to this thing, you type in the little code number that's on a bit of paper that the man who you've paid for your petrol has given you because you've also purchased a car wash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then you go beep, 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 beep. Then, this is the most important bit, you wind your window up.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. If you've got an aerial, you need to like put it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you just drive in and there'll be a little marker on the road in front of you or the tarmac and you stop...
Yeah.
Because you can't go too far, and then you turn off your engine, and the car wash does all of that, and you have a clean car, and you drive out the other side.
How do you know when it's finished, then?
Because it tells you to go away.
Does it say?
Yeah, it goes, go away.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. What it does is it will stop moving, and the little arrow will probably light up, which means you can carry on and go.
Oh, yeah.
Have you never used a car wash?
No.
It's extraordinary. So, did you get all the work sorted out, and did the car pass the MOT?
Yeah, I had to pay about £200.
It's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is when your car's only worth about £500.
Do you drive much around the city?
Yes.
Do you? Because
I use my sat nav for everything.
Because there is, I mean, use cars, use City Talk cars, don't you? If you're going out on news business, right? If you have, if you don't, I mean, you might want to think about this. There's a guy who works here who told me about it. There's a scheme here in Liverpool where you can hire a car for like an hour or 2 hours.
Right.
And they're dotted around the city.
Right.
Nearest one here to the City Radio Tower is a road just down, just past, well, actually, the old Haymarket. You know where the car park is there? You know where the River Barl and Grill's on the corner? Road behind that, you'll find two or three cars parked there. I forget what the company's name is, but if they send us some money here at City Talk, we might advertise it for them.
Oh, definitely.
And what they do is you can, literally, you can hire a car for a couple of hours. You can whiz round the city and stuff. And then just
and
drop
just
it back
it
anywhere.
Wherever.
You might want to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, but I do like having my little car so I can go to the supermarket.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm a bit like an old woman with my car, really.
Do you like motorway driving?
No, I don't really like it, no. I'm not scared of it or anything. I think it's quite easy.
Well, this is the... You said you wanted to talk about motors and cars and beer. That's the cars done. What about the beer? Have you got any beer input at all?
No, I drink cider.
I've never seen you drink beer. You're a cider girl.
Yeah.
Are you?
A certain make of cider that a lot of people drink nowadays. The one that you have ice in.
Yeah,
the Irish one.
Isn't that a genius stroke of marketing?
Oh, brilliant.
When did people put ice in their cider? The answer was never until Magnus came along. But you see, ice in the cider never used to happen until that brand hit the shelves. It's quite clever. The only place I've ever seen it before is a film called Whiffnail and I. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Bloke film, Richard E. Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots of drinking going on. It's a great film, Whiffnail and I. And they go into the pub and they order, like, treble gins and two pints of cider, put ice in the cider.
Yeah.
Is one of the famous quotes. The only other place I've seen, in fact, I reckon that's where that cider company got the inspiration from.
Probably, wasn't it?
Because you talk to anyone from the West Country where cider is, you know, was originally conceived. No way did people walk around with pints or tankards of cider with ice floating around.
I know, it's strange, isn't it? But everyone just sees it as a normal thing now. And it's quite a summery drink as well.
Yeah.
But I was drinking it the other day with ice.
You know, we ought to make the point that, of course, if you do drink, you should drink responsibly.
Mm.
But how many pints can you put away of cider?
Because
I reckon you're a good cider girl. I reckon you could probably, you could hold your own in the cider drinking session.
Probably. Well, I don't know how many I could drink max. So I will have five, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's 2.6 units in one of those bottles.
Isn't this interesting? There's a thing on the City Talk website that I've been banging on about for the last 5 days, which actually talks about... Because I think people get confused with units.
Mm.
Okay, I don't think people know from one day to the next.
Oh, no.
And, you know, they bang on about, what is it, 21 for a woman and 28 for a man?
No.
14 for a lady, 21 for a bloke?
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people go, yeah, but what does that actually mean? And on our website, over the Christmas and New Year period, there was this section on there about... You know, everything from, well, more importantly, how long it takes alcohol to get out of your blood system, which I think is a better way of explaining to people, you know, how it affects your body than talking about units. And it was great because they were saying, for example, you know, something like Foster's or a pint of Guinness, which is 4.5%, they reckon it takes 2 hours to get a pint of that strength of beer out of your blood system. Totally.
Mm.
And this whole guide was geared up really to make people aware about the morning after, because a lot of people lose track of how much alcohol they've consumed, and they think they're sober, and they might have had 5 or 6 hours, might have had, you know, 8 hours sleep, but they get in the car at 7:30 in the morning feeling quite refreshed because they've had a good kip and stuff, but they've had quite a big session the night before. There's still alcohol circulating around their system. And this guide was absolutely fascinating, and it talked about extra strength ciders, which of course the one you mentioned falls into. And you know, if you have five of those in a session, and let's say you stop drinking at 10 o'clock at night, if you're getting in your car at 8 in the morning, chances are you're still going to be, you know, slightly over the limit.
I know, and people might not realise that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you have five of those, that's your weekly units in one night.
Not good, is it?
And they class it officially, the government says that a binge is more than 3 units in one sitting for a woman, and I think it's 4 or 5 for a man.
No, I never knew that.
So if you had two... This is official, the government's definition of a binge.
Yeah.
So if I had two ciders in one sitting, that would officially be my binge, and I wouldn't see two ciders as a lot.
I've learned something this weekend, and I'll tell you why, because I think we all read and hear about the binge drinking problem we have in this country, okay? This government loves to trot out the binge drinking problem that we have. And I always hear that, and I sit in studios like this, and I read newspapers when I read articles about it, and I think, but what is a binge?
That's a binge.
And so what was it again for a bloke?
I think it's either 4 or 5. You'd have to check it.
So if I have 3 pints of Guinness, that would
be
a binge.
Yeah.
You see, I think binge is the wrong word. I really
do as well.
You know, there is excessive drinking, but binge. I mean, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm a big fella. You know, I like my ale. I like my red wine. Mm. If someone said to me, what would be your definition of a binge drinking session? I would probably say 8 pints and a curry or a couple of bottles of red wine. To me, that would be a binge.
Yeah. No, half a bottle of wine would probably be a binge by their standards.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Learn something. We've got an educational strand running in Bloke Talk.
Well, now we've done beer and cars.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Thank you. Now, I want to talk about this perfect phone call.
Yeah.
Do you, you've got a lot of female mates. Does texting rather eclipse the phone call, or do you still kind of like chat away?
Texting has eclipsed it, but I do like a good chat on the phone.
Are there certain friends that you have maybe longer conversations with than others?
Yeah.
How many would you say? 4 or 5?
Well, they have long conversations with.
Yeah, your phone might go and you know that you're going to have to dedicate the next hour of your time to chatting to this person.
Yeah, probably about 10. I've got a lot of friends.
Okay. And obviously your current squeeze is Dave.
Yeah.
What's Dave like on the phone?
He's all right. He gets a bit distracted. We speak probably about 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah.
But they're very short phone calls. He can't do a long phone
Men
call.
Men can't do it, can they? Do you think it's because they don't have the attention span?
Mm.
Or do you think it's because they lack the ability to actually find enough words to express themselves? What do you reckon is the main reason?
Well, I think it's the attention span. And also I just think they find talking on the phone a bit boring.
Yeah.
Because he always gets distracted by the TV.
Right.
Which says a lot, but I don't know if it's not finding the words, but the men don't have long conversations in general, do they?
No, men are rubbish on the phone. Do you talk to your sister much on the phone? You've talked about her a few times on Bloke Talk.
Yeah, we talk for a long time.
Okay.
And actually, I speak to my mum and dad for a long time, and my dad's very good on the phone.
Why? What makes him good on the phone?
Well, he just the conversation keeps flowing. It lasts for a long time.
Yeah.
Generally, they would talk about news and sport.
Yeah, so no awkward pauses.
Oh, no.
And does he lead the conversation, your father?
Yeah, he asks me what I think about various news and sports
stories.
That's good,
isn't it? Yeah.
He's very good. That's different to most men, I would say so.
And is that different from your sister?
No.
Do you have girly chat with your sister?
Yeah.
You see, they've done this thing, and this is all been done, this research by the post office, and I think this makes fascinating reading. The perfect phone call should last 9 minutes and 36 seconds, okay? And it sounds to me, I mean, how long do you chat to your dad for on the phone? Around that amount of time? Can you have a good 10 minutes?
Half an hour.
Okay. Mm. So that's
probably too long, isn't it?
Excessive length.
Yeah.
But this is why I think you've got it right if you're an old man, because the perfect phone calls, as well as lasting 9 minutes and 36 seconds, should contain a mix of chat about family news.
Yeah, family news, we do that.
Current affairs.
Yeah, we always do that.
The weather.
He always tells me about the weather in Cornwall.
Now, you see, I can't imagine that you talk to your dad about personal problems.
No.
You might talk about work if you had a
bit
of an
incident at work. Problems. Yeah.
Yeah. But that makes up.
I'm working
the perfect
with this guy called Duncan.
Call.
I hate him. He's horrible.
I know. We've fallen out several times. So, family news, current affairs, personal problems, and the weather. Experts studied the anatomy
the
of
weather.
The call. What?
Why should that go in a perfect phone call, the weather?
Well, because we're British. That's what we do.
Oh, gosh, it's so dull, though, isn't
it? You know, last week...
The weather's cold, isn't it? Yeah, the weather's really cold.
But it is. It is. It is.
It's, it,
it's habit. And I'll tell you why, because psychologically it's an icebreaker for people. And I've noticed this during the week, because I've been looking after the breakfast show for most of... Well, I say this week, last week. Most of last week, and which means getting in here and being on the radio at 6 in the morning, OK? So... The first thing you do is your alarm goes off, and you know this, if you work early mornings, you kind of look out the window and think, am I going to have to scrape the ice off the car?
Mm-hmm.
And scrape the ice off the car. And then you hit the road, and of course you want to look for any shiny patches, and you know, if it's Liverpool Council or Wirral Council, you hope they've had the old gritters out or whatever.
Yeah.
You get here, you park in the multi-story downstairs and all of that jazz, and you've got that cold walk round to the front doors of the City Radio Tower, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, you get to the top. When you walk in the office and there's someone there and you're taking off your hat or your scarf or your gloves, what's the first thing you say to them?
So cold.
Absolutely. That is my point. That is why we talk about the weather, because given that particular scenario, for the first half an hour that you've been properly awake, everything you've experienced and looked out for or had a view about has been about the weather.
Yeah, that's a good point. You stating know? The obvious, though.
And we do it all of the time because it's an icebreaker. Because, you know, I'm not capable of speech when I stagger in here at 5 in the morning. But if I see someone else who's working in the newsroom, it's very easy for me to go, it's cold. And that's what I do. We do it as human beings. Anyway, the anatomy of a call was studied by these experts and discovered the perfect blend of subject matter and timings needed to create the ideal phone conversation. You ready for this?
Go on.
You should jot this down and try it with your dad. 3 minutes should be spent catching up with news about family and friends.
Yeah.
1 minute on personal problems.
Yeah.
1 minute on work or school. 42 seconds on current affairs and 24 seconds on the weather. Chat about the opposite sex should last 24 seconds. 1 in 5 people said they spend most time on the phone to their mother. Does that work for you?
Yeah, I speak to my mum and dad equally.
See, I have a rare breed of mother. My mother is monosyllabic.
Is she?
Yeah, I'll go, how are you? She'll go, I'm fine. She hates talking on the telephone. She'd rather have a face-to-face
conversation. Did she ask you questions?
No, she hates being on the telephone. Ooh. Absolutely hates it. This research is by the Post Office revealed that the phrase, I'll get your mother, is common. So when you phone home and your mum and dad are under the same roof or are they under separate roofs?
The same roof.
Okay. When you speak to your dad first, do you then reach a point in the conversation where he goes, I'll get your mother?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
You see, so maybe some of this research stacks up.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for that. Only 3% of people name their father as the person they spend most time with on the phone because dads hand over the phone to their wives. Does that work for you?
Now, as I said, I speak to my dad for slightly longer on the phone than my mum.
You're bucking the trend.
I know.
And that's a good thing.
Mr. Harms.
Thank you. Listen, it's been good, you and I, having a bit of a chin wag for the first bloke talk of 2009, and we managed to do it without really disagreeing. Disagreeing with anything.
Maybe it's Toby being here that makes us fall out.
Yeah, but Toby brings a younger, kind of like thrusting young buck element to things.
What, do you say that?
I'm just saying.
Do I seem a lot older than him?
No, I'm just saying
I'm
that.
Only two and a half years older than him.
I'm not suggesting you're old. I'm just saying that what it does is it brings. It's nice to have a good mix of opinions, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
So normal service resumes next weekend on Globe Talk here at City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.